Well, Michael and I would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info, and today is Tuesday, October 20th, 2015, and this is our 287 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. Michael was taken to a huge luminescent sphere near Saturn as a student visitor and returned to Maui with their amazing flowing dialogue, and occasionally we hear from Shaharon, using Michael to transmit his voice into the recording. And once again, I want to say thank you to James from North Wales, Pennsylvania. We all appreciate you, James, for paying to keep all of Michael's hours up on the internet for anyone to listen to anytime. Okay, hello, Michael.
Hi, Curtis.
Hi, how are you?
Doing good here.
Good. Well, it's a beautiful fall day. Leaves are changing colors. And the heating season's about to start. We were below freezing a couple nights ago. So it's October 20th, and this is what happens this time of year on planet Earth. And I just wanted, before we get started, I just want to say that that John from Columbia, Maryland, last week sent in that image of Earth with the moon moving in front of it, and so now I have a link straight to a YouTube for that video or those little images, and then after that I have a Planet Earth scene from space. Oh my gosh, that's beautiful. That's where we live, and that's what this recording's about, right? It's about the New Jerusalem, what's out near Saturn, and everything in our solar system, in our neighborhood. So, Michael, you and Shaharon are both in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
A little further away, Shaharon, but it's good to hear from him. And last week we talked about all the photographs of the New Jerusalem from Voyager and Cassini and the blow-up and the telescope and the Richard Hoagland one from 2009.
Yes.
And Riley's drawing.
Mm-hmm.
All match.
Yeah, they're very accurate.
Yeah. Match, wow. That's quite a match.
And my base description, which was, looks like a light bulb.
Oh, yeah, and that was the blow-up photograph.
No, the other one looks like a light bulb when it's further away. You mean that light bulb-looking thing? That's what I said.
Oh.
That thing that looks like a light bulb. Well, immediately they correct you, you know. This, no, it's not a light bulb.
And they must have known what a light bulb really was to know it was not a light bulb.
Oh, yeah. They know. You know, it's sort of like we going back in time and looking at the old gadgets and stuff. They're kind of neat.
Well, do they have a museum of our old gadgets?
Yeah. Well, Nella had a bunch of books, regular books bound, which included, I think she had a Bible, Urantia book. In fact, she pulled the Urantia book off the shelf.
Mm.
Yeah, so some of the collections of actual things like a book was just for her keepsake, I believe. But interesting. The shelf is very interesting because I didn't realize she had shelves until it opened. Something opened the wall, and there was a shelf with books on it, and I was saying to her, you have shelves, like, and she kind of looked at me like, give me a break, you got all these same things, you know, like when I was going down the stairs, you've got stairs here. I was amazed because, you know, you think that they wouldn't have these kinds of things like stairs and stuff. Mm-hmm. You look at levitator discs and moving in between locations at super speed, you know, you don't even know where you ended up. But then there was actual stairway, very large stairway. Not exceptionally large, but it was a stairway. Mm-hmm. As I walked down the stairway, I looked up, and there you saw way up in the hangar, if you could call it a hangar, was the huge V-wing craft. Yeah.
Maybe that exact same craft is now on our moon.
Oh, well, of course, they keep using it. I mean, it doesn't just stay there. It was just, you know, being used at you know, an appropriate time when you need to for various purposes.
People with large telescopes can see it on the moon right now.
Is it still there?
Well, I don't have a large telescope.
Oh.
But I never heard it moved. And that's near the bottom of the listen page. Matter of fact, I've kept this on for almost a year, this thing, because it says visually confirmed enormous craft detected on moon. Mm-hmm. And there it is with those like spheres on the fuselage and three on each wing.
Yeah, the observation domes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you go into the wings, they're huge open areas in there. So, it's like storage bays.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, for the people, you can go up into that area, which is for people.
Well, maybe Shaharon could tell us if it's still up there on the moon and what they're doing with it there.
What they're doing with it, yeah.
Well, what are they doing if they could tell us?
Mm-hmm. Okay. He's here.
Oh, he's here?
He's always here with me.
He's always here. Mm-hmm. Hello, Shaharon.
Mm-hmm. You want to speak to him?
Oh, yes, I would like to. I'd like to ask him about this V-wing craft that you just spoke of. It's on the listen page. I'm sure he's seen it on there. I'm looking at it right now, and they have a big zoom-in photograph of it. And it even shows where on the moon to look with a telescope.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to know if Shaharon could tell us something about what the craft is doing on the moon or what they hope to be doing in the future.
Well, yes, this is Ted.
Hello, Ted.
You're interested in a park, one of our parked vehicles?
Yes.
It seems strange. It's just parked there, awaiting assignment. And it is not there anymore, but it moves around.
Oh.
It is not crashed. You know, you may have in your mind that it is there because it is, you know, crashed. You know, it isn't crashed.
Oh, I didn't think it was crashed. I thought you just settled down there for...
Yes. It can settle anywhere. As a matter of fact, we have used it in visitations. most of them, well over 90% of the time, you cannot detect it in your airspace, even with radar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because radar requires reflection, and of course we can absorb radar waves, which are radio waves, very easily. But there are times we want to be detected, and of course we will allow for such things to happen, even to be visibly seen. In the case where it is parked there for your own benefit, to have curiosity, those who have been led or driven by the urge of curiosity, many times a pressure which is sent forth from what you may call higher sources of revelation, to go and discover what is there. In other words, we are pointing you to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that you might be able to more fully engage the planet and thus allow for a shift in parent consciousness, in other words, belief, and overcome unbelief. There are times, of course, where unbelief is very necessary, because trickery is one of the problems that are apparent in your history. So such things have caused mistrust, which is essential in terms of revealing greater revelation and understanding from us. If you do not trust us, you will not be able to attain the level of revelation that is required to absorb much of the enlightenment which we propose for you to understand. So yes, it is there for multiple missions. There are times in which it does serve for a you might say, point of physical transport.
So were you on the moon to transport something to the moon with this huge craft?
There is a transport function there, yes. Both ways.
I see.
Yes. It's like any of your aircraft.
Oh, it's quite different from our aircraft.
Well, functionally, it serves the same or similar purpose.
I see, right. And if I could ask, from the moon, where did you go from there with this craft? In other words, did you come by and fly close to the Earth and have a bunch of people have some sightings of this craft before you went back?
It depends upon the mission, of course. But it isn't there merely to, you know, entertain your kind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it does serve on missions, and they vary.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times in which this has transported various instruments or technologies for the stabilization, planetary stabilization of Urantia. Presently, Urantia is quite unstable. Numerous earthquakes and shifts, some of which could be extremely devastation toward the entire plan of enlightenment in terms of your planetary enlightenment, if it would go to absolute chaos, and we try to prevent that through use of stabilization devices, some of which have to be transported. Others can simply be manipulated in terms of structures presently upon the planet, is allowing them to be shifted, you might say. And as a result, the balancing act continues. Yeah. Balance is very, very important, of course.
And is this balance within our planet? You said stabilization devices that are... Was that for our benefit on Earth, on Urantia?
Yes.
If I could ask, what were you stabilizing?
Rift zones.
Rift zones?
Yes. If I were to tell you the actual function of a device, it simply allows for progressive slip of a rift zone's pressure. So, in other words, it's pressure relief. These are, you might consider them, pressure relief devices.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The reverse could also be true. It could, sudden slippage could be triggered through these devices. This is the reason that they must be very carefully concealed. Because we understand that your kind tends to want to use such things for its own benefit in terms of weaponry.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, you have to keep your high technology out of the hands of people wanting to use it in the wrong manner. Which they've done, as you know, on this planet. But so you're stabilizing
rift zones in which there are fault lines that are building pressures that could prematurely or slip. This premature slippages would be an encumbrance to the planetary development.
Mm.
There are many times in which a planet has slipped backwards culturally, and because of that, you haven't developed forward as well as we had hoped. But you are progressing, truly progressing now.
Well, I'm so pleased to hear that you're watching this closely and keeping us moving forward, even though sometimes, here on Earth we say, two steps forward, one step back. So thank you for helping us from slipping back, if that's a simple way to put it.
Yes, it's a simple way of putting it. Of course, there's a lot going on in terms of the involvement in our judgment, you might say, of your planet. Sometimes it's simply allowable to allow things to progress naturally. Much of it has to do with your own ability to choose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, choosing what would be a benefit toward your kind.
Mm-hmm.
has been a careful balancing act between that which is dangerous and deadly, to allow it to proceed even while it is, because the benefit of it is seen, that whatever it may be is allowed to go forth, even with its danger. Sometimes it may require adjustment. Such an adjustment may use at times geologic forces, and they change the paradigm, the way you do things.
Mm-hmm. Well, we all, Shaharun, we all thank you from this planet to keep us moving in the right direction and not have us slip backwards. We seem to, and I'm glad these stabilization devices you're talking about are there for us. Thank you so much. I have a letter from Kathleen that she wrote yesterday that she has a couple questions for you. And since you're right here with us, this could be a good time. She says, hello, Curtis and Michael. Every time I listen to your podcast, I feel like I'm opening a precious gift, a heavenly gift. I carry such a living gratitude in my heart towards both of you, towards the Shaharons, toward James, and the other questioners and listeners. I feel it is such a high privilege to be part of all of this. I've had a few things in my mind lately that I'm hoping the Shaharons may be able to shed some light on. First of all, in podcast 285, this is 2 weeks ago, Ted said, this is Shaharon, you said, the nations will stand before us having the Lord Most High Universe Creator looking upon them. The New Jerusalem, there which we are orbiting but not yet implanted upon your planet, will have a time as it has pointed out into the old man, the prophet of old. His name was Isaiah. I have listened to this excerpt many times, and I'm wondering if the New Jerusalem is currently orbiting Urantia. And then she continues by saying, Ted continues on to say, Isaiah could see as we would show in that day which is very close, the assembly of the multitudes will be enlightened upon your planet, infused with knowledge, which I try to share with you and hope that it successfully embeds, seated truthfully in your planet and ignited in the fire, in the flame of greater truth and understanding. In that day, people will come and say, let us go unto the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, to the ancients, to those who were writing upon scrolls of paper and parchment, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. This is very much what you asked for. The Urantia book speaks, yes, of the nature of divinity, the divine ways. And then Kathleen closes with this last paragraph. When you speak of the mountain of the Lord, are you referring to the New Jerusalem implanted on Urantia? And that the time that this happens is very soon? the time when multitudes of the people of Urantia will go to the New Jerusalem to learn the nature of divinity, the divine ways. Can you speak more on the changes that precede this time? Signed, in loving gratitude, love, and joy, Kathleen. Thank you, Kathleen. That's beautiful.
Well, yes, Kathleen, there is a much open heart reflected in your words. And I hope that as many as hear me have such an open heart. For truth will not force its way into the heart of man, but must simply find its way smoothly into the consciousness. For this is the way that divinity operates. Presently, the New Jerusalem remains in orbit about Saturn. And as was spoken of earlier, we have many other larger ships, you might call them, that operate in various manners. The smaller ones are shuttles, and they can shuttle between the solar system, but there are also bigger ones which are able to carry these shuttles and other things, such as was mentioned earlier. So there isn't a need to bring such a tremendous city architectural world into your planetary environment. Recently, in China, was exposed a experiment of the nature of bringing an apparition of a city into the environment. And represented the pressure of consciousness. What will people do? We found that there were no panic. Just curiosity, which is good. However, this does not mean that the New Jerusalem will soon be coming within such proximity. Apparitions such as what was viewed in China and other parts of the world can be explained by phenomena that is seen in other areas where specific functional ductways are created. But these ductways that allow light to be turned, even moved in such a way similar to what you now use in terms of fiber optic technologies, but done atmospherically. Such constructs many times have allowed themselves to be constructed quite naturally close to the surface. But duckways such as these can be also created at higher levels. But, as I said, they can be constructed also. The movement of such a thing, as great as the New Jerusalem about your planet, even to come within orbit of it, is a phenomenon that would be undeniable in terms of scientific evidence, what you would be able to detect with your own instrumentation. This is not yet allowed. But let me explain to you. Later, speaking of going to the mountain of God, which is a future position of the New Jerusalem. Before such a position could be taken, vast changes, planetary changes, technological changes and developments must be brought to Urantia. In other words, your planet will have to go through a higher level of technological development. But I will describe for you why it is called the Mountain of God. I understand that you know that presently, and in most of its configurations, the New Jerusalem remains in a form similar to that of an egg. We're well aware of an egg, and I hope you do understand the structure of an egg. It is one of the stronger structures that there is. Stronger than the base sphere. Somewhat elliptical in its structure, and also described and photographed by your own instrumentation and probes. You have record of them even upon your own web page. Such a sphere would have the same problem as an egg to be placed upon the table. Upon your kitchen table, dining room table. But there are things which are made by your own people that facilitate holding up such an egg. And that is an egg holder, right? So for breakfast, you decide to have an egg served. And they would bring it out rather than it being rolled around all over your plate. It is held in a holder that you might be able to eat it with utensils. This holder is similar in construction and design to what must be constructed upon your planet. When it is about to be docked with on planet, this structure must be in place. Imagine for yourself the dimensions as which were given by the prophet of old. Such a structure having a vast perimeter, thousands of miles. A perimeter which is created in order to create a foundational structure of sufficient strength to hold up such an egg as the New Jerusalem would dock and simply park itself upon. This Therefore, you would see a gigantic, would be the term, pyramidal structure being structurally created using technologies that would be shared by your planet to create the necessary foundational base for parking of the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem is capable of being gravity non-responsive as well as being gravity responsive. It has Morantia capability in its non-gravity responsive mode. Therefore, it can float, but it can also rest, and its weight could be great. Such a structure would be created for the parking of New Jerusalem.
So, Haron, that structure would be larger than any suspension bridge we have on planet Earth.
The suspension bridge, say, San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge,
yes,
would be a very, very tiny structure in the opening of the base called the gates. These gates will have an arch structure tying in to facilitate air travel of a type which you have not yet attained. From the viewpoint of anyone standing nearby to see it, for many, many, many miles away, the structure would look like a mountain.
Mm.
But you see, in order that such a structure be created and made functional, would be indeed a very high level of technology on your planet. Presently, you take structures and make them tall. The tallest of these structures that you create will be made to seem very, very small. How do you say such a structure could be made is that it will take a long time. But before such a thing take place, prior to it, even coming in to the point of being created, the planetary consciousness must be shifted toward the divine way, and the great desire must be placed within the culture in a way which does not create tension but agreement. Progressively, and already, there are many teachers, high-level teachers who have influenced planetary consciousness, and walk among you to shift your minds from simple earthly needs and then technologies to ones which will permit the interface between we and you. Among your people are many, like Michael, who have been given insight and information at various levels and specialties to allow for changes, developmental changes to happen. You have at your hand technologies now that make it possible to unite your voices together and also to hear shared truth and insight. This is an important thing, but if not used properly, can end up becoming a hindrance rather than a asset to the development and escalating wisdom of your planet. That escalating wisdom of your planet will be eventually transitioned. The prophets of old would call them the judgment of God. These corrections, you might say, are much like the devices which we use to correct, to remove the tensions ever so slightly, such as that create pressures, that create the earthquakes. Removing these slightly and slowly can prevent sudden change. Your planet is unique because it will not have a superior race. Indeed, the superior race that your planet has is the human race, made up of many and having a very special place in the redevelopment of the universe to a higher level. The struggles which your planet goes through could be made easier if it were small in terms of population and united in terms of mind and culture and all move simply in one direction. This is the pattern for many planetary developments that are implanted and guided. There is no disunity because it is guided from the beginning. In your planetary case, there are many contributors to your planetary development. You are the sons and children of God, or the children of the divine ones. We here, out in space, have contributed much into your development, even your genetics. But diversity was allowed. Diversity, because such diversity is true in terms of our planetary, interplanetary, galactic, and universal structure. We are not all the same, but we have the chance to develop a planet which is also not all the same. Though you go through periodic tensions and there be areas of periodic misrepresentations and misunderstandings, the fundamental truth is that you within yourselves understand the need for a common good and great peace. Paradigms must shift and change. We hope that they can slip and move. This you do not by war, but instead by peaceable means, in discourse and understanding one another. Paradigms of power and finance will inevitably be changed. For such devices were needed. But sudden change will shock and destroy, like a sudden change in tectonic movement can change the structure of a city and cause it to fail and fracture, and many be injured. So this period shall not take place in just a few years, but instead is a project approximating 1,000 years, which has its beginning very close. The alignment and the start of this will be appreciation to know that, one, your planet is not alone, and two, that it has friends outside of itself. These things will become functional, not by grand force. No, that would not work, but only by revelation and understanding. Willing understanding. And openness of heart. So, there will be a time when, yes, the New Jerusalem shall orbit your planet. But it isn't yet. Yes, there will be a time when the grand structure, the pedestal of the New Jerusalem, hoped docking to become the mountain of God, should begin, but it is not yet. What is now are the gentle teachings, confirmations of the old, and the realization of the struggle that you go both culturally and economically, politically, and technologically toward unifying and understanding your brotherhood of humanity. If you understand this fundamental truth, the common understanding of the origin of the first source concept or the fatherhood concept of God will come into play and allow for much, much more. Religion will transform. It will transform itself to understand the many facets in which we operate. Yes, we operate, as you might say, as the hand, as you will also operate, and even now some of you do, also as the hand of God. Therefore, continue in doing good. Continue in obeying the pressure that we lead you into. Because we do not lead you to a place of devastation. Instead, we lead you to a place of great enlightenment, understanding, not of power, but of meekness. Not of wealth, but of giftedness and shared blessing and happiness. You will gain these things soon. Do not turn away from the voice within you that continually echoes, "Know me, follow me." hear me, the voice of the divine within you. I tear to Daktik, Shahadun, bid you farewell.
Farewell for now, Shaharon. Thank you for coming on, and that's extremely interesting. You're talking about the parking the New Jerusalem on this planet on a pedestal the size of a mountain. My gosh, it's I would think before humanity builds a mountain to hold the pedestal of the New Jerusalem, I think Shaharon's right, the planetary consciousness must really change. Don't you think, Michael?
Yes.
That's a big undertaking.
One of the key points that I want to point out is that in the book of Revelation, where it points out, behold, I saw the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. You know, and then it describes the physical structure or the gates, the foundations. These various things did not really say that it was the foundations were coming down from, it saw the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. As it parked, it could describe the foundations. The foundations were of precious minerals. There was there's a man out there, Gil Brossard, of Planet 7X. He kind of thought of what could there be as a structure that could support such itself so gigantically. And he came up with diamond and different colored diamonds as the structural basis. And diamond is carbon. Interesting, what I've learned from being with the celestials, of how they handle material. They actually can fabricate material from base. So they can actually fabricate diamond, perhaps in a different way. And then we know diamonds are made, you know, under great pressure. So this would be, you know, basically the foundations would be built out of diamonds, or a solid diamond, you might call it, and have great gates or openings that can literally fly aircraft into. Yeah, I mean, this like flying right into a mountain. Sounds like the Golden Gate Bridge would be, would it even be seen in one of those gates?
Yes, that's right. My gosh.
So small. It's like, yeah, like how the coming in for landing. So, you know, where does it land? On the other side of the bay. Maybe they might approach over the Golden Gate. And kind of look down and go, oh, yeah, that's the Golden Gate, you know, and fly over it. That's how you'd be within. Because that's how the approach was into the New Jerusalem, was like, oh, it took up the whole, you know, the entire perspective. It was like, we're going to crash right into it. It's so immense. So I can see the fact that, yeah, but you could construct gates out of there. But the technology of how we construct it would be something that isn't really in our hands right now.
Shaharon made it sound like it wouldn't be heavy.
No, as far as the New Jerusalem was concerned, he mentioned it was capable of being non-gravity responsive because of Morantia material. Wancha material is what we look at as flying saucers, look like they're just sort of like floating around, sort of blink in, blink out. That's a characteristic of Wancha material. Yeah. Also, it's very, very physical, so it's actual material. Or probably walk on it. Some of it, of course, is very highly sophisticated, you know, material that we use. Materials similar to, you know, very advanced materials that did not exist. And because we have such materials, we can, you know, create stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, like 3D printing and all that. It's plastic stuff. You know, God, it's very neat, interesting how you can, you know, do that. At one time, you had to carve things, but a 3D printer doesn't take away material. It builds material. Just very similar to how is done in the construction technique that I saw there, except it's way, way more sophisticated. In the New Jerusalem, so I was allowed to watch the construction technique. Mm-hmm. I was really interested in this. So they said, okay, come. We walked down the hall and I watched it happen. And I had lots more questions, but, you know, how much could fit in the little space in my head, I don't know.
Shaharon spoke of it, of this pedestal being such as the mountain of God. Is that?
Yeah, because it'd be like a mountain.
It would be like a mountain.
Just to see the structure there without the New Jerusalem parked on top would be a mountain. Yeah. So.
Well, the consciousness of this planet would have, well, just to make something like that, as you said, like a 3D printer would fabricate the material.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't even sound like something that could be done with the efforts of everyone on Earth.
Yeah, with our present technology, we'd be a little bit, you know, a disadvantage.
A big disadvantage.
Huge disadvantage, yeah.
It's like, you know, can you make a mountain? No.
Yeah. So these things will dwarf even, you know, many times we look at, I went down to the, I think it was Osaka Castle. On the base of the castle, there were stones that were perhaps, one stone I was standing by was about 15 feet high and about 50 feet long.
Mm.
Yeah, one stone. And I said, dang. And it was raised up off the basic, what do you call it, grade, finished grade. So it was, you had to walk up a ramp to get to that place where that stone and the foundations were. But that one stone, I don't know how it got up there. So huge. So, and I found that in Japan, you know, and to build a castle on top of the base foundation. So it may very well have been a very ancient structure that, you know, the later people, Japanese, probably said, hey, this is a good place to build a castle. Let's build it on top of there. You know? And it may really be an evidence of something left behind, which could have been a type of, you know, old-fashioned docking station for a long time ago for smaller ships. Yeah.
So this sounds like this is not taking place in just a few years, but possibly a thousand years.
Yeah, big project. But that aligns itself to the biblical proper, you know, progression, except it puts more understanding into the process. You know, they call this time of 1,000 years, and both the Yerusha book as well as biblically 1,000 year time of enlightenment. This is where teacher sons, which are apparently, according to Ted, already operating on planet. For me, I wasn't on planet to have been enlightened by a teacher son, Adeno. I went over to the New Jerusalem to be, you know, get my understanding. So there could very well be function. And I thought just simply by meeting him, that he was so capable of walking among us and not being seen as some kind of alien being. Just another guy. And perhaps looking for, as he walked, looking for the right people. They'll be calling them. And those who would, you know, come are those who can hear or are, you know, attuned. And they will come to receive enlightenment. And then it would take place in little, at first, little bursts of information. People would not necessarily be aware that they're being enlightened. But eventually you'll come to a point similar to what Ted is doing now, where you can actually have question and answer. But in the beginning part, it won't be that way. They'll just ask you questions to see where you're at. This is where many times judgment, their judgment comes in, how they judge. They ask, and your mind will give them what you're judging for, they're judging for, they're looking for.
Wow, this was... This was another amazing time with Shaharon and you.
Mm-hmm.
I like how he said that, you know, your planet will not have a superior race, that you are the superior race, the humans.
Mm-hmm. The human race.
Mm-hmm. The human race is the superior race.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow, what a nice thing for him to say to us. I wish all the humans on Earth felt that same way.
That's the problem.
Yeah, that is the problem, and that's what possibly Shaharon was talking about, the enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
When your planet becomes conscious of
the truth. The true brotherhood. Yeah.
True brotherhood.
Hmm. Yeah, what happened, I think, with Hitler was he got into an idea that some people who he didn't like had to be made inferior. You know, the Jews are coming from a root that I kind of think are the scientific guys.
Yeah,
I think they come from the scientific bunch, some of the genetics. Because I looked at, you know, the often described the Stadion or the science guys, they had the tall head,
mm-hmm.
real conic tall head, long heads. And, really long earlobes, yeah.
Right.
And, yeah. And I looked at some of the Jewish ways of dressing, and they got these hats. You see this guy with the black hats. Now, one of those guys could cover his tall head with his black hat. and his long earlobes with his curly sideburns. Mm-hmm. And then he could walk in society without too much trouble. And as I said, these guys, Stagians, were not telepathic. As much as I hoped they were, they weren't. They're very much, you might say, more the scientific. They were behind the... they were looking into my genetic background. They were looking into some other things. They were behind the panel. And behind the panel would represent, like, the scrolls were open and they were looked within it to see if you were written in the book. And basically that's what they're talking about, looking at your genetic history, where you came from. And they were pleased where I came from, you know, where my line and descent was onto planet. So we all were, there were multiple contributors, I believe, into different races in the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, Shaharon, he said, know me, follow me.
And yeah, that's the voice of our divinity within mm-hmm. ourselves. The thought adjuster, commonly in the book of Rancho book, calls the divine voice, the divine fractal.
Mm-hmm. Well, we could we could close there.
Okay.
I guess, and see what happens next time. Never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Never know what's going to happen. I like how Shaharon said the egg was stronger than the sphere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess that's just, you know, the egg is very strong. And it's just pure nature of the egg.
Yeah. New birth also, it symbolizes, that's Easter egg, yeah? Why mm-hmm. do we use the Easter egg? Because the Easter egg symbolizes new birth. So we're born as animal, and we are born again into the spiritual, which gives us the extra dimensional characteristics to move into the Morancho, higher level.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
But just the structure that he has right now. And it looks like that, right? In the photographs. And... Okay,
yeah,
so.
It really is. All right. Have a good week and talk to you next time.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye. Aloha. Aloha.